that pleased both our Olamotes hosts and our Covenant volunteers. We decided to continue the English camp every other year, and this year our fourth English camp was a big success in the eyes of all participants. The genuine warmth and hospitality of our Czech brothers and sisters in Christ defy description. They made us feel right at home and clearly appreciated our efforts, but they may in fact have given us a greater blessing than we gave them. Over the years, we've formed many meaningful friendships with our partners in Olamotes as well as with our Covenant team members. This year, it was clear that we have had the privilege to watch the children of their congregation grow up before our eyes and start to participate in leadership roles in the church. And we wouldn't have had that opportunity without the ongoing partnership. It was a joy to behold and an affirmation that this partnership is a mutually wonderful expression of Christian love between believers across the world. We invite you to join us in the next English camp in 2 years. And let me just reiterate that our friends in Olamotes, Eva Markova in particular, have used two words to describe this partnership. One is partnership, which in Czech is partnerství, and the other is friendship, přátelství, and those are key watchwords of our whole program, and we have been so blessed by it. Thank you.
Please join me in the call to worship. We gather here in your presence, O Lord.
In our need and bringing with us the needs of the world.
We come to you, for you come to us in Jesus.
We know by experience what human life is like.
We come with our faith and with our doubts. We come as we are because you invite us to come.
And you have promised never to turn us away.
Thank you. each Sunday as we gather in this place, gather together with one another and in the presence of God, we are given the gift of a chance to begin again, to reclaim God's love for us, our identity as God's people. We come knowing that we have forgotten that identity. We come remembering ways we have perhaps injured ourselves or others along the way. And yet we come with the hope that we can live into the grace and love we have been given. So trusting that, I invite us now to enter into a time of confession. I invite you to join me in the litany that is printed in the bulletin. My brothers and sisters, the Lord be with you. Let us pray. If we have used your house for our purposes instead of for your glory, if we have locked down your house with tradition rather than hallowed it by prayer, if we have made it a house for one nation or part of a nation, or for part of the church. And if we can clearly see the misuses that others make of your house, but are blind to our own malpractice, kindle in us and in all your people the desire to make all your sanctuaries witnesses to the reconciliation and justice of your beloved community, and not reflections of the divisions wounding our planet and your heart. We pray this in Jesus' name. O Holy One, in this space of silence, we pray that we experience your Spirit working within us, falling afresh on us, enabling us to form a right relationship with you and with our neighbors and with the planet we share. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. My friends, hear this good news that God is in this place. God's Spirit is doing things now in our lives that we may not yet be able to detect, but can trust. God is setting us free so that we can love as we have first been loved by God. Anyone here who trusts in the Lordship of Jesus, that person is a new creation. The old life has gone away and a new life has begun. So let us hear and let us receive this good news that in Jesus Christ we are forgiven. And sisters and brothers, we are free. Thanks be to God. Let us sing our praise.
Oh,
So I'm going to invite Tamara Stamm to come forward, who's going to help lead our time with the children, along with Jim Anderson, who's going to read our scripture. And we're going to gather here with any of the children who would like to come. I have a feeling that the children's time at some point may require the participation of all of us. At least you may be invited. Please come forward.
Good morning. Can you hear me? Sure.
This morning's scripture comes from the Psalms. And the Psalms is a collection of praise to God and prayers of thanksgiving. And I particularly like this chapter that we're going to read from, Psalm 119, and also Psalm 117, which are very close together in the Psalms. And I particularly like them because we have the record shortest book in the Bible, or chapter in the Bible in Psalm 117, and the record longest chapter in the Bible two chapters later, which I'm just going to read the first six verses from. And I don't know if this is true in all Bibles, but in my particular Bible, there is a Hebrew alphabet character for each of the stanzas of this poem. So it's got everything. So Psalm 119, verses 1 through 6. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all the commandments.
All right. I might have to sit over here so I can see you all. Good morning. Do you know who I am? I bet you don't. My name is Tamara. And I'm glad to see you this morning. We're going to get our ears ready. Can you find your ears? Everybody find their ears? Because we're going to hear about the good news. We're getting ready to listen to hear about good news. And Mr. Jim has just read from a psalm that talks about law. We're going to learn about the connection between law and friendship. Who has friends? You have friends. What about your mom and dad? Do they have friends? Do moms and dads have friends? Yeah? And what about all those people out there? Do they have friends? Well, guess what? God has given us rules of friendship. And the connection between what we read today and friendship has to do with what we do in order to show people that we're friends and what they do to make us feel as though we have friends. What are some of the things that you do when you have a friend? What about toys? Anything ever come up about sharing? One of the things that you do when you have toys is share with your friends, right? Or you try. And have you ever had a friend who said, I'm really thirsty? Or have you ever been at somebody's house and you thought, I'm really thirsty? What do friends do when somebody's thirsty? Can you say that word again?
They help you get water.
Yep. They help you get water. What else? What else do people like to drink?
Juice.
Juice. Yes, everybody loves juice. What if they're hungry? What would you give somebody to eat?
Dessert.
Dessert. Oh, my goodness. Well, I have a little story to tell you about friends that you haven't met yet. Maybe some of them you've met, but not all of them. We need everybody's fingers, all your hands, because we're going to count to 12.
All right, everyone hold up their fingers. We've got 10 plus two more. All right?
Very good. That's how many people made a long, long trip to go see some friends overseas in the Czech Republic. That's a different country. What's our country? What's our country? Yes?
The United States.
Very good. The United States. Well, their country has a different name. It's called the Czech Republic. And you have to go a long way to get there. You have to go to Atlanta. You have to get on a plane. You have to fly over the ocean. You land in a beautiful city that has a castle in it. Then you take a train and you go a long way. And that's when you get to a place called Olomouc. And that's where our sister church is. Well, what does that have to do with friends? Well, a sister or a brother is a special friend, right? Because you see them and you keep them in mind a lot, right? So what did we do? We shared, and they shared with us. Do you want to know what they shared? They shared dessert and lots of it. And they shared water and they shared juice and other wonderful things. And you know what else happens when you have friends? Don't you give them good news? What kind of good things do people tell each other when they're friends? What about, I'm really glad to be here with you. Did you have a suggestion?
Can you share your dessert with me?
Yes! And guess what? It's good news if they say yes, isn't it? And they also said, you know, you can come to my house. How does it feel if you have friends and they say to you, you can come to my house? That's pretty cool, isn't it? They said, you can come to my house. And we said back, well, you can also come to ours. We're so glad. We'll be really glad when you come see us. So that was something that we did this summer. And when you have friends, God is very pleased. He loves friends, and he's given us lots of helpful pointers with the law that we just read about on how to be friends. All right. I think that's it. Oh, yeah. Oh, I almost forgot the most fun part. One of the things that we did that was fun and made each other laugh was we had a party on the last day. Who doesn't like a party? Does anybody like parties? We had a party called the Coffee House on the last day, and we did a little cadence. You know what a cadence is? It's almost like a poem, and it helps you keep time when you're marching. So we need everybody to help us with this. We are going to do the marching part, and all the grown-ups are going to do the talking part. So you have to make it so that when you're saying left, you're landing on your left foot. And when you say right, you're landing on your right foot. Are you ready? Yep, left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right. So it goes, I left. Why, it's in the USA. To come to my Olomouc's friends to play. Do you think I did right? 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 I left my, whoops, sorry, I gotta start again. I left my cheese on the kitchen table and swept and cleaned from cellar to gable. Do you think I did right? 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 I left my toys and went on a search to make new friends at our sister church. Do you think I did right? 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 And now you can march back to your parents. How about that? Thank you. Thanks.
Perfect. 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 I got you.
Our second reading this morning is from the Gospel of Mark. It's the end of the 10th chapter. We've heard about trying to walk in the way of God through following the law, using our feet, but also we need our eyes and we need God's grace to reveal to us what we need to see in this world and the gift of a new world to see as well. Again, let us listen together for God's word to us. And they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And many sternly ordered him to be quiet. But Bartimaeus cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up. He's calling you." And so throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and he came to Jesus. And then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." And Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." And immediately Bartimaeus regained his sight and followed Jesus on the way. This too is the word of God for you, the people of God. I'm going to invite now our participants in the English camp who are listed to come forward and offer their reflections on what God led us to see and do and experience this past summer.
Good morning. I'm Tamara Stamm, this is Ton, and we were part of a team of 12 people who went to Olomouc this summer. And we're here today to help make it real for you so that you can share in the joy that we experienced going there. So what's the connection between the reading in Psalm 119? It's a meditation and a prayer relating to the law of God. What's the connection between the law of God and the witness of people to one another and friendship? Well, as it turns out, everything. There's a huge connection because, in a way, the commandments are really the rules of friendship and how we conduct ourselves with other people. And what God says in the same psalm is that if we follow these rules, it'll make your heart grow. At least this was in the thoughts of the psalmist, 119:37. "I shall run the way of thy commandments, for thou wilt make my heart grow." So everybody, find your heart. We'll be children in spirit. We find our hearts, and as we experience friendship and as we learn to follow God's laws, our own hearts grow. So, you know, you heard the time with the children, and you kind of know where I'm going. We're talking about friendship, and we're talking about places far away. There's a big connection between those rules of engagement with the Ten Commandments and friendship. Pretty much we did everything that you would want to do that we talked about with the children. Sharing time, sharing stories, sharing. They shared our homes. They opened their homes to us, gave food and drink. They helped us figure out where we were and helped us get where we needed to be. And they also brought us good news, and we brought good news to them. Really, I think the good news was the best part. According to Isaiah 52:7, how lovely on the mountains are the feet of him or her who brings good news, who announces peace and brings good news of happiness. And what kind of good news? Well, we talked about it with the children. I enjoy being with you. Let's get together. You can come to my house. And just laughs and giggles, those are all things that we enjoyed sharing with them. I'd like to remind everyone that it wasn't so long ago, it was only about 30 years ago that the wall came down and the occupation soon ended after that, that people my age and a little older experienced a lot of restrictions. They were not allowed to express themselves in journalism or in art. Many of the teachers were no longer allowed to educate. Many of the professors were out of jobs. Can you imagine what it was like to open up the doors, open the curtain, and be able to participate with other people in the way that you felt God was calling you to do, in the way that you felt was good? We heard stories from people about what that was like. And I think that the biggest joy of all for me was that people got to talk to people they thought they would never get to talk to about things that they thought they'd never get to talk about anymore, because they have celebrations with art. They brought us to places of art. We talked to an artist, actually visited him in his home, who had not been allowed to teach at the university and to do his art for a long time. There are so many things. And you know, it's important to God that we bring good news and that we become friends with people. And so I just want to thank all the people who made it possible to do it.
My name is, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Ton Stam, and cannot match my wife's wit, but I will share with you some of my experiences in Olomouc. One thing that I expected, but was actually what exceeded my expectations, was that this whole week was filled with the Holy Spirit. Our team from Covenant was just amazing, and the Czech people were so eager. They were so eager to share their faith and their thoughts with us, that was very moving to me. Now, during the week, there were some themes. There was a daily theme, and the themes were picked by us to form the basis for the discussions that, during that day's sessions. And Tamara and I picked, in fact, Bartimaeus. So what happened then is that whole day the discussions were structured around part of the Bible, and so that's how things worked. And throughout there were also open discussions or free discussions, It turned out what we found is that the Czechs were very, very hungry, and you know, of course there was dessert also, but they had a hunger for fellowship and a hunger for our experiences, and as well as discussing theirs. And what struck me is that there was a difference between the old and the young people. The old people tended to go back into history, like Tim said, their own experiences during the time of oppression, in particular religious oppression, but under the communist rule. And so we had some very good and passionate discussions about what that experience did to them in their lives, and what it meant for their faith. And what they really wanted to know from us is what freedoms or restrictions there were in the United States. And so we had some very enlightening and interesting discussions about that. Then turning to the young, there were so many of them. There were 30 or 40 young people and young adults and teenagers. And not only from their church in Olomouc, but from about 150 miles away from the Czech Republic. And 150 miles may not sound like very much to us, but to them, it is sort of like flying in from California, to come to this English camp. Because the Czech Republic is so small that 150 miles for them is just a very long distance. And the young people, they didn't necessarily look back. They looked at the future. And they were very, very, very curious to learn what our opinion was, what our take was on religion, on faith in the future, and also they were very interested in social and environmental issues. For instance, the freedoms that we have here that they are only discovering in the Czech Republic and how we deal with that. And also the environment, which I think that really lives among the young people there. That's happening here too now. Like last Friday, there were many demonstrations, for the environment over here and worldwide. And I bet you in Olomouc, some of the kids in our classes will probably participated. Then there's another thing that I would like to share that's personal, and that is that while our discussions with and our sharing with the Czechs were amazing, truly amazing. I also have to say something about my own experience. What I found is that in this intense week, because it was intense, that you really get to know people well, beyond just the surface. And it was such a blessing and a gift for me to get to know the people and the wonderful people on our team who did a fantastic job and who really showed their faith in everything they did during the week with the English camp. And of course that was reciprocated by our Czech friends. But what I really took away from the camp personally is that I feel now that I really know, gotten to know the people on our team way beyond what you would normally have In when you go to church, you meet the people, you say hello, you talk about this and that, and you're in Sunday school class and maybe some other activities. But this went way beyond it, and I really cherish that. That will be forever in my heart. And I can highly recommend you, every one of you, to join us the next time in our trip to Olomouc. We are certainly planning to go back. It's been a real blessing in Tamara's and my life.
I'm Valerie Stone, and my son Eli and I, he's age 10, we went together, so I'll let you say what maybe your favorite thing was.
I really like going away, coming away from my church and my country and seeing the culture of others.
I was so interested in this trip and felt a real pull. But I knew at the same time that a trip is not just where you go, it's who you are while you're going. And it's odd to feel this pull to go outward when this year has been very introspective for me. I turned 50 this year. And one of the things I decided to do at age, I'm a writer and I'm a prolific journal keeper. And at age 25, I put all my journals in chronological order and read through my life, sort of my own Encyclopedia Britannica. And I learned a lot, so I decided that I was going to do that at 50 and 75 and 100. so that's what I was doing this year as this trip approached. And I discovered that even the thought of the word, they used the word commissioning, kind of gave me the heebie-jeebies. As I read through these old journals, I sort of learned I had to become friends again with that over-exuberant child I used to be, with the sort of gushy teenager that I used to be, the philosophical college freshman, but also to come more to peace with. I was a child, we were in this congregation, and then my mother took us out and took us to a fundamentalist church. And so for my tween and teen years, I fell hook, line, and sinker for the fundamentalist line, which is hard for me to go back and read those old journals and the fear and the trepidation that comes with sort of that fundamentalist line of thinking. But also just sort of the us versus them. So this is sort of a year to kind of go back and integrate some of those themes. And with joy, I found that this trip did that so beautifully for me. From my journal, one of the first Sunday, we had communion, and I wrote, "I enjoyed communion of real wine shared from a chalice in this old world place full of Christians who don't smugly feel that they should be the majority. These people are more what I imagine the early church to be like. They are the minority and they treasure each other. The focus on building worthy lives and sharing light, not on staying on top. It is refreshing. My eyes teared up and I felt a lump in my throat, thankful for finding genuineness." I decided to wear this shirt today because my friends who traveled with me got to know it well. Mine was the suitcase that did not appear in Prague. And thankfully, I had put extra clothes in my carry-on, but I had to sleep in those, and so every night I would wash this and hang it in the window so it would be clean the next day. And after almost 5 days, the suitcase popped up again, and I wrote this. "This morning I have been musing about how it feels to have my missing suitcase again, to be able to get organized and move in an easy fashion through my day. There's a small echo of wholeness in that. I also thought about how it feels to be on a mission trip again after so many years, but this time to be able to voice all my feelings, to not be trying to force things on people, to not be afraid that failure on my part will literally mean hell for someone else. Yesterday afternoon, Jim Anderson, Steve Rathbun, and I were talking about the road that we've all taken, moving from fundamentalism and into something more complex. When I was a fundamentalist, I felt like I understood everything, Jim said with a laugh, and now I wonder about everything. Yes. I feel like this trip is helping me move more easily and function more easily, putting things together, moving away from easy answers into a more complex and rich faith, moving towards wholeness and integration. One of the things I learned, I have a master's degree in information science, and there is a model of learning where we move in a spiral. So we often come back to old issues and we think, oh, this again. But if you haven't learned, if you haven't grown, you just go in your little lap. But if you've worked on things and you've learned, you spiral upward and the spiral gets larger, so you go back to those things less and less, but at a higher level. So I felt like this trip was really helping me do that, and was very thankful for that. And I wanted to end on a short and positive story. One of the things that Eli and I stayed in someone's apartment, they went elsewhere and let us have it. And it was kind of like living in the little IKEA house when you go through IKEA. It felt like that. It was like everything was organized and tiny and neat. But when we had to sometimes go to the grocery store, which was no easy feat, we discovered there is no cereal aisle. It's little bags on the end cap. Live and learn. But we had bought food in Prague, no problem, but in Olomouc, we discovered that a credit card will not work, but a debit card will. But in the meantime, I'm trying to figure this out. The clerk didn't speak any English, was giving me dagger eyes for holding up the line, and all these people, you know, behind me, and I'm sorry. And we finally get it through and get the purchase done. And I turned once again to this old man behind me just to sort of say, I'm sorry. And he looked at me with his big, beaming, sunny smile and said, good day, Czech Republic. And I think that was probably the only English that he knew. But it was such a gift, because that sunny smile, that I was forgiven, that he understood that I was from somewhere else, and he wanted to welcome me. To feel, instead of that separation, us versus them of fundamentalism, to creep towards that sense that we're all in this together, and the feeling of integration and friendship has been really amazing. Thank you.
I'm not a journaler in daily life like Valerie is, but when I travel, I am very committed to keeping a journal, and I doodle and scribble and take notes and write incessantly. In fact, I found in early service the bulletin from 4 years ago, Witness Sunday, when I gave a reflection that apparently was entitled Family, after staying with the Gabriel family, with whom I stayed again on this most recent trip. Because of my work schedule, I left later than the group, and I returned earlier than the group, so my bookends in Prague were shorter than everyone else's, but I had the full experience of the English camp and the time in Olomouc in the center part of the trip. And so the trip is very busy. We are very engaged with our folks there, and so often I would fall behind in writing, and I did a lot of catch up on the plane. And so this is my last entry from the trip. Wine and Cheez-It crackers. Not quite a classy combo, but an adequate one, as I'm writing this on the plane. After our last breakfast at the flat, the usual and delicious array of bread, cheese, yogurt, jam, and tomatoes, we walked to church. Shimon met us, super impressive, since he and his girlfriend had been partying in Prague for the weekend. They closed a pub at 4:30, had McDonald's, and he was on the 5:30 a.m. train to Olomouc. The sermon was based on the scripture of Jesus calming the storm while in the boat with the disciples. This was the theme of the day on Friday at the English camp. But there were many boats going across the lake that day, not just one. None of us are traveling alone. There are other boats all around us all the time. It reminded me of work. And for those who don't know, I'm the director of Project SAFE, Domestic Violence Center. It reminded me of work, how children often fare better in groups than individual counseling, how superheroes camp helps child witnesses, and how connections forged in support groups sustain adult survivors of abuse. How sometimes the reassurance that you are not alone is the only and also the most powerful thing that we can say to one another. And there ends my journal chronicling 2 years of English camp, 4 years apart. And I pulled it out yesterday to think about what I would share today. And I was thinking about this notion, do we really have to go to the Czech Republic? Do we have to cross oceans and continents to remind ourselves that we're not alone? And I was thinking, well, we know that life is short. We know our time on earth is fleeting, especially when we compare it to life everlasting. And yet, try as we might, I think we all fall short in treating each day as the precious gift that it is. We get distracted with details. We get distracted with our phones. We get worried over things that are probably pretty inconsequential in the long run. But when we travel, aren't we acutely, viscerally aware of the time limits of that trip? English camp is a week. That's 10,080 minutes. And we were engaged and present and absorbed in every one of those minutes. Every meal shared, every story shared, every song sung and game played and activity, we treated them as the precious gifts that they are. And because we were so engaged, so present, so absorbed, we were all better able to live out the charge that was given to us that last Sunday in church. I wrote it down. It was from 1 John chapter 4, 7 through 9. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and he who loves is born of God and knows God. Our partnership with the ECCB in Olomouc and our every other year English camp is a wonderful lesson in love, in engagement, in presence, and a great glorious reminder that we are not alone, that ours is not the only boat on the lake, and neither is theirs. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Amen. I want to share one further reflection, not from part of our group, but from part of our extended family. This is coming from Ivana Markova, who some of you know. If you've been to Olomouc, you know her. She has been here to Athens and has visited and been a part of worship and life here in years past. Ivana, along with Lori and Helen, is one of the central reasons, that central people behind this partnership, and continues to inject great energy and hope into it, along with making some of us work hard when we go there. I know the first night we were there, everybody else seemed to scatter to go relax and have drinks, and she said, now it is time we go work to prepare for worship the next day. This is a statement that Ivana offered on the last day we were at English camp. She said, "Dear brothers and sisters, our partnership is not mere partnership anymore. It sounds a bit technical to describe that as what is going on here today. To explain, when partnership becomes friendship, to use some words Jim alluded to earlier, but when partnership becomes friendship, which is the case here, I believe, and partners become friends, they do not usually need too many words to understand one another. Still, it's a big pleasure to speak to you. When somebody tells a joke, we know it's a joke and nobody's offended. When we are serious, we know we are serious. Fortunately, there is little space left for small talk. The words are important for a language course, are they not? So it is not insignificant that there are in our schedules for the English camp slots of time allotted to life stories. Because we know, and we hope you know, that we will all be allowed to share between us our life stories that come from the bottom of our hearts. And this feeling has been building up gradually from Camp 1 to Camp 4. And without words, naturally we feel and hope something like that cannot stop. There will be, we pray with God's help, Camp 5 and Camp 6 and so on. Am I right? Am I right? Am I right? Maybe camps forever, like the English wedding formula reads, till death do us part. And please, she says, when you come next time, do not leave the mouse Cliff behind. Cliff became known as Misha the Mouse because daily in our opening skit, he would dress that way and take on a role. Because with his music, he can fill up all spaces and all gaps that are left between the words. So thank you so much for everything. We love you. Signed, Ivana. God's word becomes flesh again and again in friendship as we cross lines, as we join the body of Christ all over this world. Thanks be to God. Amen. I invite us now to share places where we have experienced the power and the presence and love of God in our lives, and those places where we have felt emptiness and need to experience that grace and hope that comes with God. So I invite you to share both your concerns as well as your celebrations. Jeremy. We do indeed pray for our local education community, teachers and leaders, and especially the children and students, that they may find an environment of healthy and good learning. Sally. prayers are with you. And may surgery go smoothly and may recovery and healing happen quickly. Peace to you. Other concerns and celebrations. There are quite a few that you'll find listed in the our newsletter or online. Let me highlight several in addition to the names and circumstances that we're reading about there. Missy Green has requested prayers for the son of a good friend of hers. Son's name is Andrew Swan, and Andrew was just diagnosed with leukemia, and so our prayers are with him and his family. We continue to lift up prayers for the healing of Jerry Bowden's sister, Jan. We are glad to hear that she is becoming stronger, is able to breathe more on her own now. But please continue to pray for her. We also pray for Anna Holzhauser as she is living and getting used to a new environment out in Comer in a health and rehab center there. And also for prayers for Gene as he navigates life on his own for a bit. I hope you've made note of the announcements and information in the newsletter about ways to concretely help brothers and sisters recovering from Hurricane Dorian in the Bahamas and elsewhere. We need to give them our aid, our monetary aid, as well as our prayers. I want to celebrate once again the wonderful gathering that happened early here yesterday morning. With our food distribution for neighbors in need through Feast. I want to celebrate the partnership we have with other congregations in the area, especially Millage Avenue Baptist Church, St. Gregory the Great Episcopal, and the amazing team of students who, on a game day, so for all of you who are feeling tired, no excuses. On a game day, they were up at 7 a.m., over 20 of them here helping unload, sort, and distribute over 12,000 pounds of food for our neighbors. So thanks be to God. Also, please embrace in prayer the family of Maureen Wathen, who passed away recently. We will celebrate Maureen's life and the promise of resurrection today at a memorial service at 3 p.m. here in this place. Let us pray. O holy God, it is by your grace that we can see, and by your Spirit that we can move. It is by your love and patience that we slowly begin to climb out of the well-worn ruts of our lives and step onto new paths where strangers become friends and where we no longer live in fear. It is by your mercy and your wisdom that we begin to recognize the false claims that some people are more worthy of life and hope than others. And by you that we can rejoice in the truth that all of us are created in your image, worthy of your love and in need of your compassion. On this day, O gracious one, help the family of Maureen to remember the promise of resurrection and to see and experience the reality of new life in all its fullness for her. We ask, too, that your gracious arms will embrace Ashley and all who are facing death. Guide all who have been limping through life with pain, helping them to experience new strength and freedom from suffering. Especially, we lift into your care Rebecca and Andrew, Nancy, Beth, Jan, Anna, Libby, Ruth, Pauline, Jean, Sally, John, Beta, and Elsie. For our neighbors who came yesterday seeking food and for the many volunteers who served them. For the deep need of truth-telling and healing among local school leaders. And for the children and families they serve. For the people of the Bahamas and all who are working to restore them to some semblance of decent and healthy life, and for Beecher as she transitions into her new life in retirement. Oh God, for all of these people and circumstances, receive our prayers and grant them peace. Oh God of community, how grateful we are, calling us into partnership with them. Help us to see our friendship deepening into a strong witness to your beloved community. All of these things, O God, we pray in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray with these words, that we do not need to undertake the journey with Jesus alone, that you provide us with faithful friends and traveling companions. Today we lift up our brothers and sisters in Olomouc and give you thanks for Lori and Helen and Ivana and all who heard your voice. I invite us to sing what we believe in the affirmation of faith printed in the bulletin. Holy God, you give us everything we need and more. Pour out your blessings and your spirit upon these offerings, that they may become sources of life and hope for each person, each community that receives them. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.